animals live in a different reality. They know things, see things, feel things that we can't, don't, or won't allow. Especially man's best friend. Their perception extends to the light, and more importantly, to the dark. And today in Snap Judgment, we pay very close attention. Snap Judgment proudly presents The Hounds of Hell, a podcast-only Snap Story remix, part of our countdown to the all-new Spooked 7. Listen when I tell you. Turn on the lights. Lock all of the doors and do not, under any circumstances, listen alone. Now, we start off in Mexico. When Oscar Mendoza was born, his grandmother told his mother that this baby had a gift. Now, Oscar would never say that she was wrong, but he's not sure if gift is the right word. Sensitive listeners, please note that this story contains graphic imagery and violence. Snap Judgment.
It all started with the annual family vacation to San Felipe. I always hated going to Mexico. We were used to creature comforts, you know, like TV and air conditioning. And over there, some people don't even have electricity. You know, the only time we would really enjoy is whenever there was a carnival in town. My father would drive literally from Dallas all the way to Mexico without stopping. It was like a 19-hour drive. When we first got there, it was maybe around 3 in the morning. That night, we stopped at a taco stand, and there was a dog that somehow just stuck to us. He just literally followed us home, and the next day he was there, and he just literally stayed with us all the time. And we lived on the main street. It was carnival, so there was rides everywhere, there were parades, there were food vendors. Imagine the state fair, but in your house, or in your neighborhood. That's how cool it was. The first thing I've seen was the girls in kind of like bikini things, you know, saying hi to everybody, and they're winking at people, they winked at us. And we got, you know, shy. You know, it's something you really don't see every day. Once we heard the music and we heard clowns were coming, we jumped on top of my dad's car. The clowns were, you know, making people laugh. We were having a good time. They're giving us candy. You know, we love candy. And then that's when we heard the explosion. We just saw this clown fly through the air, and it landed maybe like a couple of feet away from us. We heard his body thump. We didn't know what was going on. We thought it was part of the act. My brother, you know, he was just being jokester, like was laughing. He was laughing and pointing. His face was toward the cement. And then my brother noticed that he turned around, the clown turned around and looked at us. You know what, I swear to God, he smiled at us. Had his look in his eyes were open. And my brother almost peed in his pants. You know, he told me, he turned around and looked at me. And then once that happened, you know, my mother heard it and she came out and grabbed us and goes, get inside the house. Of course, we didn't listen. We ran up the stairs and we were on the balcony. Then we were looking at them, at the chaos from the top. And that's when we seen the whole view of the carnage. And what happened is that this truck had lost control coming into the town, instantly killing a bunch of people and hitting the clown car, making the clowns fly up in the air. Police came, they couldn't really do anything until somebody came in with a truck and put all the bodies on the trucks and took them away. And once everything cleared up, you know, they washed the streets off with water. Yeah, I felt in my bones we shouldn't have made fun of the clown. We ate dinner, we went to bed. My parents never brought it up. They figured, you know, don't talk about it, it never happened. We all started to sleep together because my brother was really scared. My brother wasn't one of those people that was really scared of anything. Even to this day, he's the toughest guy I know. But, you know, that night he wasn't as tough. My older cousin, she was 15. And so she was our, kind of like our babysitter / bodyguard. So yeah, we all slept in one bed. That night, around 3 a.m, my brother wakes up sweating. He asked my cousin, hey, can you go with me to the restroom? I need to get some water, I need to go to the restroom. My cousin, you know, she's older. She goes, sure, I'll go with you. She grabs his hand. In the room, there's two doors. One door leads to the hallway, that's my grandpa's room. This door would lead to the kitchen. It had a huge hole in the middle, like a round hole the size of a ball that we use as a handle. And my cousin held the door open. And as soon as she opened the door, that's when we saw him. We saw him sitting there. He was sitting in a chair looking toward the wall. He was wearing a gray jumpsuit. And he was wearing what I think was a mask, a clown mask. He had a bald head with hair on the sides like a clown. Opaque white, wasn't makeup, it wasn't a mask. That skin was too real. And I suddenly realized what clown that was. That was the actual clown that my brother was laughing at. And as soon as she opened the door, that's when he turned around. And my cousin shut the door real quick. And that's when we heard the impact of the door. It moved the door so bad, we thought it was going to break. And my cousin, you know, she's a pretty big girl. She was leaning against it. And my brother was leaning against it. And I jumped over and leaned against it too. And every time it pushed, we could see him. Because once he hit the door, the door would swing open and we would push it back. The thing was ramming itself against it. He stopped. And then he put his eye through the hole in the door. And we see his powdery face. He goes, let me in. Let me in.
Must get apart from ustedes.
Don't be mean.
No sean malos.
I just want to play with you. He looked around and then he put his arm through the hole and tried to grab my cousin's hair. He had a white glove with full of blood in his hand and his wrist was cut. And then we were crying and crying and screaming, Grandpa, Grandpa. As soon as we said Grandpa, my grandpa jumps out of his bed on the other side. We heard him and he had the dog in this room. He lets the dog go. We hear the dog run. He ran, you know, ran to the streets of the kitchen. You know, he started growling and snarling and fighting him, you know, and that's what we heard. And then my grandfather came out with a gun, you know, he came out with a gun. He goes, who's there? You know, so I'm going to shoot you. But in Spanish, like, ¿quién está allí? Los voy a matar. He goes, salgan de aquí, si no los mato. He ran up the stairs, whatever this thing was, ran up the stairs, and we heard it jump from the roof, and it landed on the cement. And I was thinking, this guy just killed himself. And my grandfather went outside. We're looking for blood or anything. Nothing. It disappeared. Whatever it was. You know, we would have seen something. We didn't see anything.
As soon as my grandfather walked in, we went looking for our dog. And we found him next to the patio, which is the yard, in the middle of our house, laying there lifeless. It's a traumatic situation when you hear an animal die, you know, trying to defend you.
My grandfather picked him up, put him in a towel, and put him in a truck and took him away. You know, in the morning, the police came in. He looked at all the scene, And the only thing that was left in the kitchen was this pile of black ooze. It smelled horrible. And the police officer told my grandfather, you know, you should really get a priest over here and bless this house. You know, I don't think this guy was a clown. I think era el diablo. It was a devil. And then, you know, my grandpa got really freaked out. After that, we never studied in that house again. It was too horrific experience. And to this day, you know, my brother and my cousins, we discuss the same story over and over because nobody believes us. You know, like nobody believes that we saw a zombie clown, you know, that attacked us in the middle of the night. You know, the only thing I fear, and I fear for everybody that hears this story, whatever we experience will follow somebody. You know, because my grandma used to always tell me, don't ever talk about this. Because you don't want to release this thing to anybody else. And I truly believe that's true.
Snappers, if you're dying to hear more about the creepy life of Oscar Mendoza, listen to the podcast Real Ghost Stories online. You can find stories from Oscar and many others. More info on our website, snapjudgment.org. Original sound design for that piece was by Leon Morimoto. It was produced by Anna Adlerstein. When Snap Judgment returns, something at the house smells off, and it takes man's best friend to uncover the mystery. When Snap Judgment, the Hounds of Hell episode continues, stay tuned. Welcome back to Snap Judgment, the Hounds of Hell, part of our countdown to the all-new Spoot 7 episode. Susan had a sense that something in her house was amiss. Something was wrong when she started getting signals from her best friend, Daikon. Snap Judgment.
So I live in New Orleans, and I have a dog, and her name is Daikon. Fast forward, I move into this place, an old Victorian on the bayou called the Bayou St. John. And she would never just walk in the house. I'd open the front door and she'd stop. She'd go in the house and she'd be staring in the living room. So I always knew there was something in the living room. I didn't know what it was. This was a Sunday in October, early October, on that Sunday night. Got into bed. My dog, Daikon, was on her pillow across the room. Turned off the light. I couldn't go to sleep. There was something that just kept presence that was in the room with me. And I could feel that presence on my back, breathing on my neck. Like, this is crazy. And I would turn over the other way. Still felt it. It was there. That same feeling of that heat when you put it just up to your face. Just before you touch your face. That's what it felt like. I felt like it now was nose to nose with me. And it was there. It was there. With whatever it was there in the bed with me. So this went on for about an hour and a half, 2 hours in the darkness. I finally turn on the light, but it's midnight now. So I go in the bathroom, splash water on my face, and I'm like, all right, stop. Go back to bed. So I go back in my bedroom. I got in the bed. I reached up and turned off the light. And before my hand was away, the whole bed slammed. And the headboard hit the wall. It slammed the wall. And I immediately, in that split second, thought, that's the dog, Daikon, trying to get in bed with me. So I quickly turned on the light and I looked down, sound asleep. She was sound asleep. And I was like, OMG, it's in my bedroom. And then I pulled the covers up really tight around my neck. And that's when I saw it, him. And it was an older white man, really, really pale. He had a very thin nose. It was long and narrow, kind of had a little point at the end. And he had long gray hair, bald on top, stringy long. And he was wearing one of those turn of the century or mid 1800s, I'm not sure, one of those nightgowns where they used to tie it around their neck and then it tied around their wrists. And then it was open, you know, at the bottom, a nightgown. And that's who was in my room. And so I laid there all night. I don't know what made me stay there. I had no idea. I got up the next morning, you know, got dressed, went to work, and I called a friend of mine, and she was crazy mad at me. Something's in your house. It's coming to your bedroom. You need to get out of there. You need to get out of there. So when I came home that night from work, my dog came out of the house onto the porch, which she never does, and was pushing against my knees. What's going on? And I'm petting her. And I looked down and she had chewed her tail to a bloody stump. She was completely wigged out. So I took heed to my friend's advice and I took my dog out of the situation for the week. Then by middle of the week, I guess it was about Wednesday, I decided this was crazy. So I came home from work. I went straight to my bedroom down the hallway. The dog, Daikon, would not come in the bedroom. And I just stood in my bedroom and I said, all right, enough. I'm really sorry you're trapped here. I'm really sorry that you have a miserable life. I said, but it's over. I can't help you. I can't do anything to make it better. But I will tell you, get the F out of my bedroom. Get the F out of my bedroom. And while you're at it, if you touch or torture my dog again, I will burn this house. Do not torture my dog. Leave her alone. Go back to your hole in the living room. You were fine there. I accepted you there, but you've crossed the line. And I kind of was shaking when I was saying it, but it was empowering at the same time. I took my dog and we went for a walk. I came back that night. I thought, well, let's see what happens. And she followed me into the room, my dog. It was back in the living room. I think within 2 or 3 weeks of that, I decided I was moving. I didn't want to put Daikon through that. So that's what happened. So I moved, and I moved 3 blocks away. I have a great place. Daikon loves it. Totally fine there. She's like a whole nother dog. Never chews herself.
Thank you, Susan. The original sound design was by Leon Morimoto, and that story was produced by Anna Adlerstein. Now, snappers, understand, nobody, but nobody loves a season of mystery like Snap does. We're coming to you with 4 Snap Spook classic remixes, including Welcome to the Dollhouse and Sight Unseen. before dropping the all-new Spooked 7. And let me give you a little preview.
Be afraid.